can we do to help people who are homeless, as individuals and as a society? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are going to discuss homelessness in Wisconsin, the causes and cures, where we are making progress, and what else is needed. And we will talk about a new $23 million grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development that is going to Wisconsin agencies and initiatives that help the homeless. We welcome your thoughts and your questions and your own experiences. Have you ever been homeless? What is or was your experience? What efforts are ongoing in your community to help people who are homeless? Do you volunteer to help the homeless? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Joe Volk. He is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness and a founding board member of the National Coalition for the Homeless. He has been a leader in the state to prevent and end homelessness for 35 years. Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got to push the right button. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us.
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about this $23 million grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to help Wisconsin combat homelessness. Where is this money going? What kinds of programs will this money go to?
Excuse me. Well, first, not to downplay the grant. It certainly is an important grant. And it is a new grant in the sense that it's a new year. But this is the grant that Wisconsin's been getting for 15 years now. So this money has been deployed mm-hmm. for quite some time. Where it's going is all throughout the state, from the large urban areas such as Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, to the very, very small rural counties. It goes to provide permanent supportive housing, mental health services, outreach services, just a wide array of services that assist both homeless single adults and homeless families. It is interesting to note that the federal funds, however, do not fund emergency shelter. Shelters such as in Madison, Milwaukee, and throughout the state, where just a person or a family can go for a few nights or a few weeks just to get out of the cold. But it is a very important grant. It certainly helps the state battle the issue of people having to live out on our streets.
Yeah. So is this amount $23 million on par with funding in previous years?
It's been about the same. Under the Obama administration, it's gone up a little bit. I should mention, that, of course, that as with everything in terms of the federal government and federal funding, homeless advocates throughout the state and throughout the country, of course, are very concerned about what the new administration may or may not do regarding these funds, and so while these funds have been seen for a long time as relatively stable funds, something that providers can count on, there's a little bit of certainly nervousness of what's going to happen in the future.
Is there any indication as to whether this funding would go down or be eliminated under a Trump administration?
There certainly is not at this point. I mean, the Trump administration is, of course, just getting into power. Mm-hmm. You know, while $23 million for the state, and in fact, nationally, it's close to $1.8 billion. While that sounds like a lot of money in terms of the federal budget, that's a fairly small amount, and it may well certainly take them a while to, you know, get that far down, so to speak, in terms of the budget. And so while there's no indication, just like many other areas where it's very unclear as to what this new administration is going to do, there's a lot of nervousness. Clearly, if the election had gone the other way, in terms of these funds, we'd be fairly confident of a continuation. But that didn't happen. So as with many other federal funding sources, it's very unclear what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I'm just curious. You mentioned that this funds various initiatives, but it does not fund emergency shelter. Is there some reason for that?
Well, historically, emergency shelter has been funded at the local and state level, the city, county, and the state. It was interesting that those, in terms of the government, those were the first entities back in the late 80s and early 90s that actually began being involved in trying to battle homelessness. The federal government was the last player at the table, and so I think they decided at the time to not fund shelter, but fund other services. And their emphasis over the last 10-12 years, actually, has been around supportive housing for specifically single adults with mental health and alcohol or drug issues. That has been their focus, and quite frankly, they've had some success with that.
Yeah, from what I understand, nearly half of this federal grant money in Wisconsin is slated to fund projects in Milwaukee County, which set a goal of ending chronic homelessness in the Milwaukee County area by 2018. Ooh, that's ambitious. Tell us what's going on in that part of the state.
Well, first of all, the amount of funds that come to Milwaukee vis-a-vis the rest of the state is somewhat of a federal formula based on population mm-hmm. and the number of homeless people and that kind of thing. Frankly, kudos to the county executive in Milwaukee County, Chris Abley, for putting this as a goal, ending chronic homelessness by 2018. They're doing some very innovative things in Milwaukee in order to try to reach that goal. But I would add, as I'm sure the county executive would add, that this is just a small slice of the homeless population. The number of chronically homeless people in Milwaukee is estimated to be about 300. But the estimated homeless population in Milwaukee may be upwards of 3,000 to 4,000. So while this is a great initiative, certainly going to serve some of the most needy, to be chronically homeless, you have to have been outside, out on the street or in a shelter for a very long time. And so this will certainly serve some of the most needy population in the state. And what we have to do is build upon Milwaukee County's success and figure out how to do that statewide.
Oh, I was going to ask you to define chronic homelessness, and it has to deal with how long one is homeless.
Yeah, there's two factors. How many times you have been homeless during a period of time, I think it's 3 years, and or how long you have been homeless in a continual stretch.
Yeah. So how, can you give us an idea of how many people we believe to be homeless in Wisconsin right now?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that people kind of stereotypically think of the homeless as the single adult male, sometimes a female, kind of like pushing a store cart, a shopping cart, right. You know, collecting cans in downtown areas. And while certainly that's true, the reality is that over half of the people in Wisconsin that are homeless are, in fact, children. They're children that whose parents have not been able to secure housing for them. We estimate that there's at least on any given night in the state of Wisconsin 20,000 people who are homeless, and one source to realize how how statewide this problem is that the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction keeps track of homeless children in schools. And actually, you can go to their website, Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, just put /homelessness. And you'll find a chart for every school district in the state as to how many homeless kids that they saw during the last year. And DPI reports 18,000-plus homeless children were in Wisconsin schools during the last year.
Wow. And typically, how long is someone homeless? If you're not chronically homeless, how long is someone homeless?
Well, it certainly depends on what other issues they bring to the table. If there's mental health issues, if there's alcohol and drug abuse issues for families, it gets very, very complicated in terms of moving out of a shelter or finding new housing because a family has to, come up with first and last month's rent and make sure that they can get the heat and the light on, and then there's the furniture and the stove and the daycare for the kids while the parents go to work or try to find work. So it's a deep hole that for many, many people can take a long time. There is a movement across the country called Housing First, which basically says that the most important thing to do is to get people into housing right away and then work on the other issues. In Wisconsin, and we can certainly talk about this, because of the lack of state funding, it's hard to do Housing First because even if you get somebody, either a single person or a family, into a home, having the resources to make it a home with furniture and stove and all those kinds of things is a challenge.
Yeah, do we know, Joe, a breakdown as to why people are homeless in terms of a certain portion because of economic reasons? They lost a job, or medical bills, or mental illness, or something else.
Well, Joy, it's certainly all of those things that you talked about. And it's important even to note in, that single homeless adult, that male pushing the shopping cart that probably has some mental health problems or some alcohol or drug abuse problem. At some point, that person had a family.
Yeah.
May have even had a wife and kids, if that, at least parents and sisters and siblings that once cared about them. But the thread that goes through pretty much all of homelessness is the lack of affordable housing throughout the state, especially in, for instance, the Madison area. Housing is very, very tight. The vacancy rates are very, very low. Rents are high, and we know that a significant number of people in the state of Wisconsin are paying over 50%, 60%, 70% of their income for a rent. But if you were applying for a mortgage, the standard is that no more than a third of your income can go for housing. And that's how bankers, for instance, make sure that you can keep making your mortgage payments. Yet we have people and families paying 60%, 70% of their income for rent, and then we wonder why some small thing like a doctor's bill or an illness that a person can't go to work, why that tumbles them into not having a place to live.
We are talking about homelessness and Wisconsin's homeless population and ways to help the homeless in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions and your thoughts on this. We're welcoming your own experiences. What do you do to help the homeless? Do you volunteer? What would you like to see the state do in terms of helping Wisconsin's homeless population? Very curious if you have ever been homeless. Maybe you're homeless right now. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about homelessness in Wisconsin with Joe Volk, who is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness and a founding board member of the National Coalition for the Homeless. Talking with him because we received news that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development recently awarded $23 million to agencies and initiatives in Wisconsin that are working to reduce homelessness. But as Joe pointed out, this is an ongoing grant, ongoing federal funding that has been coming to Wisconsin over the years. We are talking about what it's used for, what else is needed to help Wisconsin's homeless population, welcoming your questions and your strategies and any experiences you might like to share. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jim in St. Francis is with us. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
I understand you volunteer with the homeless?
Yes, we did. We're in our 70s now, so we can't do it anymore. But people have to understand that homeless people don't want a hand out. They want a hand up.
Yeah. So how did you help? What did you do?
We spent 3 months sleeping on the floor of the church with the people in Bayview. And it was a rewarding experience.
What was the point of sleeping with them on the floor of the church, Jim?
We lived like they did. How they had to suffer.
Why? So you did this just so you would be able to empathize, so you would know what it was like?
So we would understand more about them, more about the people and what their struggles are.
Yeah, and what did you learn?
We learned that nobody is there because they want to be. It's because of situations in their family life or low-paying jobs. I mean, a lot of the homeless work, but they don't make enough money to support themselves in an apartment or buy food. You can either eat or pay rent, some of them.
Yeah. Well, Jim, what a interesting thing you did. And how long ago was this?
Well, it was about 5 years ago.
So what's your reaction to that, Joe?
Well, first, Jim, thank you for volunteering. I'm sure that it's fair to say that you got as much out of that volunteer experience as the homeless people that you were certainly helping serve. I certainly hear that among volunteers all of the time. You know, we tend to talk about government money a lot, and it's very important that those funds continue, and especially in Wisconsin, that we do more. What we forget about is that throughout the state, there's a huge volunteer component. Some of it faith-based, some of it not, but really shelters and other programs to serve the homeless without volunteers, especially faith volunteers. These shelters and these other services would not be able to open their doors and serve the people that they do. So volunteering at a local shelter or a local homeless service provider is certainly one of the best ways, if you have the time, if you have the inclination to do it, is certainly one of the best ways to help people and families that are in need.
Yeah. When Jim said that he learned that, you know, most people who are homeless do not want to be homeless. They do not want to be in this situation. I think that was countering the idea that we hear sometimes that people are living on the streets because they want to be there.
Well, I mean, usually what that's about is that people, there are certainly some folks that are seriously mentally ill and have some alcohol and drug abuse issues that are on the street, and when you hear that they would rather live on the street, what that really is them saying that they just don't want to conform or to do this or to do what the service providers many times want them to do in terms of getting off the street. And that's why we've gone to a kind of a housing first model which really, you know, so for instance, rather than saying if you stop using drugs, we will provide you housing, we turn it on its head and we say if we will provide you housing and then we're going to work with you to stop doing drugs. And in the case of especially single adults, especially in the case of chronically homeless nationwide, that has been a successful strategy. Unclear how well that strategy will work with families, but certainly for single adults, it has proven to be somewhat successful.
Jim, thank you very much for the call, and thank you for your volunteering with the homeless. Richard in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What is your experience?
Well, my experience is that I've been homeless for about 4 years. No drug and no alcohol problem, just chronic poverty that was a direct relation to homelessness. You know, I mean, you can just have economic things as he stated. I'm in a disagreement with a little bit about the things, experience with the agency. You know, you go there, even though they get the money poured into the agency to help people, it's still a lot of red tape, a lot of hoop jumping, a lot of musical chairs, and you're over to 211, and you still end up homeless. So if there's a bed available in a shelter, now why not immediately put people in? I know it could be costly in a hotel for a couple of nights, or just take them off the streets for a couple of nights. You know. And another thing I look at, you know, nothing to be agencies, but what about the administrative costs that eat up in these agencies? I mean, there's just so much red tape, so much behind the scenes things going. You know. And I like to see some. In the heart of the community, just some minority-run agency that helps the homelessness, that's got their paws on the people. Not saying that Joe Woke can't do this, but these people have been doing this for years. There needs to be some real action, some real help for people that need instantaneously. Not everybody is mental illness, and there's not everybody is alcohol-related issue. There's some poverty-related issues where people get this, they get evicted, they can't pay the rent, and as you said, a great proportion of their salary goes towards rent and stuff like that. We need instant help.
Yeah, so, Richard, let me just jump in. So I've heard you say instead of making someone jump through all sorts of hoops to try to see if there's an open bed at a shelter, put someone up at a hotel perhaps for a night or two. Is there anything else you could see as being immediate help for people who are homeless?
Yeah, immediately help. I mean, like I said, the most immediate thing is the shelter. And maybe some of these agencies could take some of these people, put them to work, use a proportion of that to help them. I mean, a job means everything in self-esteem and self-confidence and all that.
Yeah, well, and hold on, Richard. This is really interesting. So here he's been homeless, I think he said, for 4 years, Joe. How about that specific, you know, too much red tape, too much bureaucracy to jump through it? Put somebody up in a hotel.
Well, I agree on the too much red tape and too much bureaucracy, and I've seen that firsthand. I mean, before I was in this position, I ran a large social service agency in Milwaukee that provided a whole host of a whole range of services to the homeless, and for the most part, I can tell you that agencies don't want to have all of these hoops and all of these bureaucratic things going on. But I can tell you that especially the federal government, there is just an immense amount of bureaucracy and reporting and crazy stuff, quite frankly, that comes along with these grants. Let me give you one quick example. We have to be very careful with the federal money, or providers do, in terms of making sure that you're serving people that are actually homeless, that meets the federal definition of homelessness. Now, in order to understand the federal definition of homelessness, the federal government has put out a book of 108 pages for agencies to help them make sure that they decide who is homeless and who isn't. That's the kind of craziness one gets, especially with federal funding. So for the most part, agencies would love to not have people go through as many hoops, but unfortunately these funding sources come with a large amount of red tape. Now, and that's why, for instance, some agencies that I'm familiar with, especially in Milwaukee, actually refuse government funds. The Milwaukee Rescue Mission doesn't take any federal money so that they can not have to deal with some of the crazy hoops and things that the federal government or the state government makes agencies do.
Richard, are you still with us?
Yes. I just have one quick comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, for a great part of my life, over 20 years, sat at the table with the agency he's talking about, sat at the table, set up the coalition, helped the individuals that are homeless and other things like this. And I myself fell through the crack. Maybe it was God sent or whatever. I fell through the crack. And I found out that those same agencies that I work with shut the door on the back, closed the door on me, wasn't available there to help anybody. You know, you call up the St. Vincent de Paul Society. I'm just going to say it. You ask for a pair of gloves. You ask for something like that. Well, you know what? There's not. We have to see if there's a parish in your area. It may take two weeks to get a pair of gloves or to get some coats. So there's a lot of red tape going on there. You know, a lot of things going on that the community and the people need to look behind the Venetian blinds of some of these agencies and see what's really going on.
Wow. That's sad that you need a pair of gloves and you have to wait a couple of weeks for that. Goodness gracious, Joe Volk.
Well, I mean, that's certainly something that shouldn't happen. And it's true. All too often, agencies and organizations do what's convenient for the organization as opposed to what makes sense and convenient for the people that are trying to help. So, I mean, I certainly don't condone any of that. Richard, when I was at that same table over the years, I saw many of those same things, and that's why today we don't job that I have now is not to provide services, but rather to provide advocacy to try to deal with some of those very issues that unfortunately you've been facing.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not saying this is Richard's situation, but as he mentioned, he said, there's no drug or alcohol problems going on, just poverty and economic problems, and he thought maybe it would be smart to help people who are homeless get a job. Some may be wondering, I'm just bringing this up for discussion purposes, well, why doesn't Richard or someone in his situation go get a job?
Well, it's very difficult to get a job when you don't have an address and a phone number and things of those sorts. If you can imagine applying for a job and when you get to the address part of the application, having to have this long explanation about that you're living under a bridge or something like that. In most cases, that may well scare prospective employer away. And so that's why one of the things we have to do is to try to prevent people from becoming homelessness and families, especially from becoming homeless, because once that happens, it's very hard to dig out of that hole.
Yeah, and what about what do just generally agencies do, or for that matter, maybe even nonprofit groups do to help people with job skills or finding a job or learning a job skill?
Certainly, most of the shelters, and there are providers around the state that have some programs to help homeless people find jobs. We need to do more of that. Certainly, that's one of the reasons at the state level that we're advocating for an interagency council on the homeless. Because what you find is that homeless people and families, their concerns and their problems transverse all of the state departments, and so, you know, you may have shelters being funded by the Department of Administration in the state of Wisconsin, but you've got job services funded by a whole different agency. We need those two agencies at the state level to sit at the table and talk together to talk about how to move job placement services into shelters, and so we need to do more of that.
Yeah. Earlier this year, it was announced that homelessness across Wisconsin is down 6% compared to the previous year. What's your reaction to that?
Well, that's actually over a period of a number of years. But I would say two things. In terms of single adults, homeless is probably down. The problem, so those numbers are coming out of the federal HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and there's problems with the way that HUD counts homelessness. What happens is once a year, volunteers, for instance, in the city of Madison, go out and try to count how many people are out on the streets. They know how many people are in shelters for the most part because they all feed into a same data system. But so these volunteers actually go out and count the number of homeless that are on the street. And so that's what makes up HUD's numbers. So, I mean, part of the problem is how many volunteers do you have? How well organized are they? What's the weather that night in terms of our homeless people hunkered down because it's very cold or snowy? Are volunteers willing to go sometimes into some pretty scary places in order to count people? And the other problem is that the HUD way of counting, which is called a point in time survey, really vastly undercounts families who tend not to be in the same places as single adults do. So I might add that the number of homeless families in the state have gone up during that same period. So while I do think we are making some progress on the single adult population, primarily the chronically homeless population that we were talking about before, we still have a long, long way to go.
I want to thank Richard for calling. Appreciate that. We do have an open line for you. If you have an experience to share about homelessness, maybe you have struggled with homelessness. Maybe you know someone who is homeless. Maybe you volunteer to help the homeless. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we also welcome your questions about what we can do as a society to help reduce homelessness. Our conversation is prompted in part by a U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development grant of $23 million to agencies and initiatives in Wisconsin that are working to reduce homelessness. Our guest is Joe Volk, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition of Homelessness. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about what we can do as individuals and as a society to help the homeless. With Joe Volk, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness. So what ideas do you have? What experiences do you have? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Joe Elizabeth on Facebook says, we can help the homeless by increasing mental health services. Well, is that right? Do we need more mental health services?
Well, absolutely. In terms of the single adult population and the chronically homeless population that's out there, there's a very high incidence, perhaps as much as 50% of those people that have mental health issues. Amongst families, just because of some of the stress and things that have gone on, the mom and the dad, and certainly the kids who have been hurt by moving from house to house and not having a place to live and living in shelters, those children certainly are going to need some mental health services. But certainly, mental health services, especially the kind that actually reach out. I mean, if it's the kind of mental health services where you have to make an appointment and go see somebody sitting behind a desk. For the homeless, that doesn't always work very well. The mental health services that work well are the ones where people get out from behind their desk and actually go to where homeless people and homeless families are.
Yeah, you know, a lot. There has been some recent attention to homeless veterans, and I take it many of these veterans are struggling with issues like post-traumatic stress disorder, and perhaps the focus being on these veterans because here, you know, they were serving their country and now they're living on the streets.
There certainly are. Vets that are out there because of PTSD and other issues. I would mention, besides the HUD dollars, the other place where the federal government has been spending a lot of money over the last 10 years is on the homeless veteran problem, and again have had some considerable success. Getting homeless vets off the street and into housing. So, and so both on the chronically homeless numbers that have gone down because of federal spending into programs, as well as the vet numbers that have gone down. It just shows that if you make the investments, you can reduce homelessness to a considerable degree. So it's not that we don't know how to do it for the most part. It's a question of having the resources that are available to do it.
Betty in Partyville is with us. Hello, Betty.
Hi there. I have been watching TV lately, and I see these advertisements for these little houses that people are interested in now, and they're carrying them around with them and going places. Are you there?
Yes, the tiny houses, yes.
I'm thinking that it would be a really good idea to... for the government, with the money that they're given, you know, for this grant, buy some property, put some of those little houses on the property, let people move in to those apartments, make a little apartment out of them with a stove and a refrigerator and a bed. It doesn't have to be really big, but let them stay there for 2 or 3 months. Give them some independence and trust them. Don't just question everything they say. Give them some chance to prove themselves for 3 or 4 months, and if it works out, then they can get a job, and they have some transportation to a job. We can help them. There's all kinds of things that we can do, and the gentleman that was on just before me excited me about the veterans, because veterans are used to living in cramped quarters. They don't have all the necessities that they need in life. They're used to living like that. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for them to have a place to go and call their own?
Thank you very much, Betty. The tiny houses idea, I know there's an initiative in Madison to provide tiny houses for homeless. At least there had been. Joe, what can you tell us about that or other similar initiatives?
Yeah, there's an initiative in Madison. I think there's an initiative in Racine that's a little farther along. And that is exactly the idea, is to build tiny houses. I've seen the show on TV. I'm sure a number of your other listeners have too. So there is an initiative going forward in various parts of the state. Not sure that you can use federal money doing it. Because because of the federal regs and things of that sort. Certainly not a solution for everybody, certainly not for families, and certainly not for all single adults, but for a significant part of the population, that kind of program, that kind of service would certainly work. And you know, in my 35 years, going back to, I think it was Richard's comments, you know, my 35 years, whenever a government agency says that here's the one fix that's going to serve everyone and solve the entire problem for all of the different parts of the population, I kind of go up. And so where I'm going with that is that there's not one program, there's not one fix, there's not one a solution for all of the homeless in the state of Wisconsin, because the population varies. You have some people that have mental health issues, some people that don't, some are families, some are singles. So my point is that the tiny houses, along with many, many other programs that will work for specific populations, is what we need to do, and not necessarily just grab onto one paradigm for everyone, because we know that that's not going to work.
Yeah. Thank you, Betty, for the call. Jessica in Madison is with us. Hello, Jessica.
Hello. Thank you so much for such an important show. I just had a question about what implications the Affordable Care Act had on homelessness in the state, mandatory coverage for mental health and substance abuse in particular.
Do you know if it's had an impact there, Joe?
Well, it's had a very, very large impact to the positive, certainly. And ironically, one of the things that the governor did in terms of refusing the federal money, one of the things that he did is that he included single adults really for the first time in a large way, being able to get on to Medicaid, which has certainly made mental health services and other health services available to a large part of the population. To some extent, he also, didn't take $300 million for the last 5 years from the federal government. I think in terms of the repealing and the replacement of ACA, that kind of conversation that's going on, much like the homeless funding itself that we were talking about, it's a very uncertain time, certainly at the federal level, and we'll have to see whether the repeal and replacement actually serves as many people and as well as the ACA does now. So I guess like many other federal issues, it's a question of just staying tuned.
Yeah. In an interview with Wisconsin Public Radio News, you said that Wisconsin should do or should have a better strategy to help a large number of young children and families who do not have permanent housing. You talked a little bit about that being a problem in the beginning, but what strategy, what steps should be taken to help this group in particular?
Well, the first thing is that Wisconsin really doesn't have a plan to reduce and end homelessness. There's a 2006 plan that was done under the Doyle administration, sitting on a shelf somewhere, that really never had a lot of oomph behind it. So Wisconsin needs a plan, and the coalition has been calling on the governor and the legislature to at least have a plan. And secondly, Wisconsin, in terms of, for instance, our Midwest neighbors, the coalition did a study about a year ago. In terms of total spending on homelessness, Wisconsin ranks essentially last in the Midwest. So, for instance, Wisconsin is spending $3.5 million per year on homeless programs throughout the state. Minnesota is spending $44 million per year. Mm-hmm. Right next door, pretty much the same number of people live in the state. And Minnesota has seen its homeless population go down each year for the last 3 years. And a lot of that is because, much like the federal government around veterans, Minnesota is investing in programs that work. Wisconsin needs to start to catch up. And if you talk to city and local, city and county officials, what they will say is that they're doing a lot, but that they need the state to be at the table as a real partner.
Yeah. We're running short on time, and I meant to ask you that there has been some attention to the issue of homelessness in the city of Madison, and various proposals coming from the mayor's office to I don't know, for lack of a better term, crack down on the homeless and where they can sleep and for how long, and trying to take care of perceived problems such as perhaps the safety of others people who were defecating on City Hall steps and all sorts of things like that. What are your thoughts on how a city should you want to help the homeless, but what if what about regulating the homeless?
Well, I don't know enough about Madison to comment specifically on that. I mean, I know this is a problem all over the country and certainly in cities all over Wisconsin, and the challenge is to try to find that balance. I mean, on the one end, we don't want to throw people in jail because they're sleeping on the street. On the other hand, you know, we don't want them defecating on a city hall steps because other people have to use that. I think the answer is to find a balance, with the philosophy being let's find the resources to get people off the street and not punish people for being on the street. And that's sometimes a challenging balance to achieve. But I know mayors and advocates throughout the state are constantly in conversation about trying to strike that balance.
Marilyn in Madison wants to know your thoughts on the best thing to do to help a homeless person on the street. Give them money, give them food. What can an individual do for another individual?
Well, much like I was talking about the federal government having one size fits all, you hear that you should, give money, or that you shouldn't give money or food or whatever. That's a personal choice. Where I come down on it is it's a case by case situation. I've many times not done it, and many times I've said okay, I'll do it, and it all depends on what the situation is, what the request is, and so I think you have to do it on a case by case basis, and not necessarily have a blanket direction that one shouldn't do it or should do it.
Let's see. Donald in Madison is on the line. Hi, Donald.
Hi. I'll make this quick. I see what time it is. I had an idea to as an individual to do some help. So I went around to thrift stores and very, very carefully bought five sleeping bags. And then I didn't know where to go with them. So when I finally got the good advice to go to a Porch Light, one word, Porch Light, on the south side of Madison on Martin Street, they were very grateful to accept all of them, and I felt really good. They didn't cost that much, but I felt like five homeless men might just possibly benefit.
Oh, what a good idea. He bought sleeping bags at thrift stores and then donated them to a Porch Light, which helps the homeless.
That's a wonderful idea. There's certainly nothing wrong with trying to keep people warm at night.
Yeah. Well, as we end our conversation today, is there a certain takeaway you'd like our listeners to think about regarding combating homelessness in Wisconsin?
Well, two things. Certainly volunteer. If you don't know where to volunteer, call your local United Way, and they will certainly hook you up with an organization that serves the homeless, and I guarantee you'll get more out of that experience than you give. Secondly, we're very optimistic at the state level that we'll have something going through the state budget process in the spring. Please watch for that, and feel free to contact the governor's office and your local state representative and senator.
Thank you so much for being with us. Joel Volk, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness. Thanks to Brianne Shasso and to Jennifer Dargan for producing this program. This is the Ideas Network.